Welcome to another Pot of Gold Extra Point, brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at zaxbys.com/podcast. And also brought to you by Tire Rack, the way tire buying should be. And it's not just another Pot of Gold Extra Point podcast, because it's USC week. Forget Bowling Green. Forget New Mexico, Virginia. Nothing compares to when the Trojans come to town. As you, Carter Carls, ND Insider for the South Bend Tribune, will soon learn, because you are still a rookie when it comes to what does this whole rivalry thing mean for Notre Dame, for USC? I'll tell you right now, it's better than Texas A&M. It's better.
Ooh.
It's better. And I'm telling that to an A&M guy.
For the sake of us being still friends,
civil,
I'll just let that go.
You're not even going to have a rebuttal.
No. Well, I mean, it's hard to argue when A&M and Texas don't even play anymore.
Right. See, so there you go. That's the main thing right there. And it's kind of what I write about in my column for Saturday, is the continuation of one of the greatest rivalries in college football. Pittsburgh, West Virginia, gone. Nebraska, Oklahoma, gone. Texas A&M, gone. Notre Dame, USC, still there after all these years, not going away. And one of the reasons Notre Dame values its independence is it wants to play this game in October in South Bend, and then specifically in November in the even years out in Los Angeles. Like, there's just nothing like Notre Dame and USC. It's the energy's different. The week's different. Like, we're not sitting here trying to say, all right, how are we going to muddle through another 40-minute podcast breaking down the Bowling Green Falcons? Like, even Brian Kelly, yeah, a week ago when Notre Dame and Bowling Green were getting ready to play. Oh, and by the way, let me just say, Saturday night kickoff, 7:36 approximately, Notre Dame Stadium, 9th-ranked Notre Dame, they're 4-1. USC is 3-2. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
You ready for it? You got the cold weather gear? We're sitting here taping on Friday afternoon. It's currently about 68 degrees and raining in South Bend. By the time high school football finishes tonight, the wind chill will be in the 30s.
I'm wearing shorts right now.
Yes,
I'm taking advantage. This is the last day I think I'll be able to for about 4 months. It's just really sad.
So you're like, it's 68 degrees outside. I've got to wear shorts.
Yeah.
Because on Saturday, it's a night game, obviously, so it's late start. We won't be moving or driving and getting ourselves to the stadium till around maybe 5:30. By that time, it's going to be about 40 degrees and 15-20 mile an hour wind. It's going to be brisk out there at Notre Dame Stadium when the Trojans come to town.
You talk about the cold, you talk about the rivalry. Well, we got a great quote from USC wide receiver. Well, maybe a bad quote, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, it's a great quote.
It's a great quote. Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver at USC, their leading receiver, says, in reference to coming to Notre Dame, what he's going to tell the freshmen on the USC team, he said, "I told them to embrace the suck."
Let me hear it again. Embrace what?
I told them to embrace the suck.
There you go.
Which, I guess, is in reference to the cold. That it's going to be cold, but it'll be fun when we are running up the score.
And as luck would have it, so Michael Pittman, and he's a pretty good wide receiver.
Yeah.
One of three really good wide receivers that the Irish are going to have their hands full with on Saturday night. As luck would have it, Michael Pittman made that statement, about what, 3 hours after we were last around the Notre Dame players on Tuesday night. So
yep.
Southern California access, obviously 3-hour time difference with Los Angeles. Their players, the media had access to their players late Tuesday night. The last the South Bend media is around any sort of Notre Dame players or even coaches is Tuesday at about 7 o'clock at night. So we weren't able to ask any of the Notre Dame players, hey, did you see what Michael Pittman said? Hey, Troy Pride, what do you think about Michael Pittman saying? And first of all, I love the quote.
Yeah.
Second of all, if they have to say they're embracing the suck, they're in trouble, because it's going to suck tomorrow. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's going to be dark. It's going to be raining when the USC charter flight lands later on this afternoon at South Bend Regional Airport, if they're already thinking about the weather, they better be thinking about guys like Drew White and Julian Okwara and Alohi Gilman. You're thinking about the weather. This is a repeat of Miami in the Sun Bowl a couple of years ago when they played Notre Dame.
When you go to USC, the coldest weather you're going to get is when you go into the AC inside. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that some people might give them a hard time for that quote. I love it. Like, you know, a lot of times we hear the same coach speak and the same, like, oh, well, we're keeping a game at a time. I mean,
it's a name.
On.
It's a nameless, faceless opponent,
yeah.
And we prepare. No, you don't prepare for every opponent the same. This is Notre Dame. This is USC. It's got to be different. Michael Pittman, come on down. Like, can we talk to Michael Pittman tomorrow, please?
And it's like, I mean, okay, look, maybe as a double-digit underdog, you shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's a rivalry. This is fun. And what I love about rivalries is it doesn't matter really. Like, I mean, it does matter. But there's sometimes where it doesn't matter how good or how bad both teams are. You never know what's really going to happen. I mean,
I'm sensing a throw the records out the window statement.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I mean, even Notre Dame 2 years ago when USC came to South Bend, mm-hmm. USC came into the season with so much hype. They had Sam Darnold. He had come off that huge Rose Bowl win, and then you had Notre Dame, who had been coming off that 4-8 season, and then all of a sudden Notre Dame blows them out the door. You know, so I mean, you just never really can anticipate what's going to happen. Last year, I think, was way closer than expected. So I'm not going to say throw out the records, but rivalry games are fun because they're a little unpredictable, and you know, you never can really predict what's going to happen.
You're listening to the Pot of Gold Extra Point presented by Zaxby's. Let's take a short break.
We know you like football. So do we. We're TireRack.com, and this is our version of a two-minute drill, except it's only 30 seconds. TireRack.com has an enormous selection of tires. Not sure which ones to buy? Use our tire decision guide to find the right tires for your vehicle and the way you drive. Then get them shipped fast and free on all orders over $50. Shipping is in as little as one day. Free. TireRack.com ships to independent, recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Touchdown!
Back on the Pot of Gold Extra Point, USC edition. Carter Carls, Tom Noy, South Bend Tribune, Notre Dame, USC. Embrace the suck. Saturday's game isn't going to suck, I don't think. It's going to be a good game.
I think so. You know, I think the number one storyline for this game is going to be Javar Armstrong.
That's the number one storyline?
I think so.
Run with it. Pun intended.
I just think that over the last few weeks, the focus has been, you know, Ian Book not having all his weapons, and the guys slowly coming back, Cole Kmet, Michael Young. Now he finally has his full arsenal of weapons.
He's got everybody.
But Armstrong, do we know if he's going to play, you know, first quarter to fourth quarter? Is he going to have a 20 carry workload? I don't think so. I mean, I think they want to ease him back into the thick of things, but I think he is maybe the most important playmaker on Notre Dame's team, just because without him, we saw the struggles in the running game, and he's really got the only breakaway speed out of that backfield. Mm-hmm. And so if he's able to give them 12, 15 carries, he could be the difference maker in this one.
And most important from a standpoint of, he's maybe not the most talented, but he just gives them a little bit more versatility than what they've had the first 5 weeks of the season, where, okay, it's really important to have Chase Claypool, or it's really important to have Cole Kmet, and then obviously Ian Book. But when you add Javar Armstrong, it just gives another dimension that this team really hasn't had since the first drive of the year when we're sitting at Louisville.
Yeah.
After Javar Armstrong goes down after, what, like four or five plays? That's the last we've seen of him. I think it would be really, they'd be really lucky to get 15 carries out of Javar Armstrong. If they can get him the ball 10 times,
yeah,
hand him the ball 10 times, and then maybe out of the backfield a couple others, that's a good night for Javar Armstrong.
Right, and it is a lot different than last year when they put Dexter Williams in against Stanford after his suspension, And, you know, he breaks off one huge touchdown run, first carry. And
what, it was 65 yards, I think?
I believe
like
so.
That. Just right up the middle. It's like, yeah. Well, look, Dexter Williams is back.
And then it was like there was no worry about rust or anything like that because they could just ride him. But with Jafar, it's different because, look, you're not looking to rush him back after, you know, the injury. And I also think that even if he was fully healthy, if he was full go, if they were fully confident, it's not like he is this workhorse back for them. They're also going to involve Tony Jones Jr. They're going to try to involve a third guy in there. But for the most part, it'll be 1A, 1B with Jafar and Tony Jones Jr. I just think Jafar, ultimately, at the end of the day, is that most important playmaker because he has that missing element that can make the running game more dynamic, more versatile, more threatening. He's that home run difference maker for them.
And when you look at the USC defense, it's talented, it's experienced, but they don't have much trouble in stopping the run when it comes to running between the tackles. When they get into trouble, it's out on the edge, and that's where Jafar Armstrong, because Tony Jones isn't going to get a handoff and sweep, take a sweep and go around the edge and run for 15, 20, 25 yards. That's just not his style. He's more of a bulldozer, straight-ahead guy. To get out on the edge, you need a guy in this game like Jafar Armstrong. And I think it's a different situation than what we saw last year with Dexter Williams. Like, Dexter Williams was finally able to play in that game against Stanford, but he was still practicing. Like, he's still going 110% as far as we knew. We don't get to see practices during the season, but he was still healthy enough to be able to practice during the week. We don't know what Jafar Armstrong's been able to do since he was cleared 100%, like, you're good to go, let's go, let's get back into practice. How long has that been? 2 weeks? And again, the one knock on Jafar Armstrong has been, God, he's so talented, and he can do so many things, but can he stay healthy? Like, what's it going to be like for Jafar Armstrong on Saturday night when he takes that first hit? Is it going to be, okay, now all the cobwebs are out, I'm good to go, or is it, I don't want to re-injure this thing and get beyond the shelf again for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, last year he had the ankle sprain, the knee infection. He was just kind of one injury adding up on another, and then obviously this year the abdominal injury. So, yeah, can he stay healthy is what I'm looking at too. But what I like about Notre Dame's chances in this game is I feel like they've finally realized their identity on offense. They've realized what is their bread and butter, and to me that's 12 personnel, which is when you have one running back on the field, two tight ends, three wide receivers. Tommy Tremble and Cole Kmet, their emergence and over the last couple few weeks has been really important in the blocking and running game for Notre Dame, and you've seen it. Even Tony Jones Jr. has been able to get to the outside and get some nice runs against Bowling Green and against Virginia. So I think adding Armstrong to that mix only makes the running game more dynamic. And like you said, it becomes more versatile. Like in preseason practice, we saw him lining up as a receiver.
In the slot. I like Jafar Armstrong in the slot. Like,
yeah.
Chip Long, tinker around with that. Like, go. You'll have Chase Claypool, you'll have Michael Young, you'll have Chris Fink. Throw Jafar Armstrong out there and go four wide. Throw Cole Kmet out there and go five wide. Like, get a little more variety in the offense, and that's what Jafar Armstrong allows Chip Long in this offense to do.
So having Armstrong back, do you think Ian Book continues his hot streak? He had a really nice game against Bowling Green.
Well, but everybody couches that with an asterisk, and they say, okay, Ian Book threw for more touchdowns, five, than he had incompletions, four. But everybody says, even the guys out of basketball, pick up basketball this week, they're saying, he did it against Bowling Green. Like, what more do you want this guy to do? It's almost like Ian Book has entered no-win situation category with him. Like, if he has an okay game and they win tomorrow, there'll still be people clamoring for Phil Jurkovec. But
yeah,
I do agree with Brian Kelly. Like the Georgia game, he was more of a game manager. The Virginia game, he was good. Bowling Green, he was really good. But again, people, 52-0, it was Bowling Green. Let's see Ian Book just wrestle control of this game tomorrow night and take it over and play like, I'm Ian Book. I'm Ian Book, and you're not going to stop me. I don't care what defense you throw at me. I don't care how many blitzes. I'm going to stay in the pocket. I'm going to go through my reads. I'm going to go through my progressions. I'm not going to bail. I'm not going to be throwing the ball out of bounds. Let's see Ian Book have a Bowling Green type of game against USC on Saturday. Then maybe that'll finally convince people, yeah, that quarterback's pretty good.
I don't believe USC's defense is as dynamic as Georgia or Virginia.
No.
Or Clemson last year. Ian Book should have a nice game, not just because of the defense he's facing, but he finally got all of his weapons assembled. Like, I think that this is the game where he shuts people up and there's no,
it's Bowling Green. Let's see him do it against somebody good. Well, he did it. He was okay against Virginia, wasn't he?
He did pretty well
Virginia.
Against Georgia.
Yeah, but he didn't win. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know. He doesn't win a game against Georgia, and everybody's like, oh, they should start Phil Dracovic.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, look, objectively, Ian Book has not played consistent. He hasn't been to the level they want him to play at, but it's not like he's had this huge regression. It's not like anything that's happened this year has been overtly alarming, right? Like, I don't think I think he still has his best football ahead of him, and I think this is kind of the turning point, is that Bowling Green game, he got that confidence, and then USC, I think this is where it comes together. Now that he's got all the guys that he had in preseason camp, it's going to work. But,
okay,
yeah, you go.
You talked about the number one storyline Saturday is the return of Javar Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've talked about Javar Armstrong. I believe the number one storyline for Saturday is how is Notre Dame going to defend these wide receivers?
That's number two for me.
Oh, let's make it 1A. How about that?
1B, yeah.
1B. Like, okay, Michael Pittman, Tyler Vaughns, Amon Ross St. Brown, who is the younger brother of Equanimeous St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the most talented, maybe the most talented trio of wide receivers in the country. Certainly the most talented trio of wide receivers that Notre Dame is going to see this year. And they're going to do it without Sean Crawford. They're going to do it with a cornerback rotation that's still kind of like, you've got Troy Pride, you've got Tariq Bracey. Does Kyle Hamilton have to maybe play more in coverage? Like, I don't know if you can drop Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah into coverage against these guys. Like, when they played, these wide receivers were good last year when they played out in the Coliseum. They're really good now. Last year when they played, it was more of, let's just keep these guys in front, not let them get behind us and have the ball thrown over our heads. Let's keep them in front, and we'll give them all the space in the middle of the field. And they were able to do that to an extent out there. It was not a good look because it was like completion, completion, completion,
easy.
First down, easy, easy, easy. I think that, I mean, don't they have to play a similar way with that tomorrow, on Saturday? Because I'm still not convinced Tariq Bracey, Troy Pride, who's now the third corner. Dante Vaughn is now on the shelf for the season. Sean Crawford's out until at least the Michigan game. Who can step in and play cornerback? And don't tell me it's Cam Hart. Don't say Cam Hart.
No. I mean, what you've seen from Notre Dame this year on passing downs is they've had six defensive backs, which is a dime defense, and it's been pretty effective. I think they might go more nickel this game. I'm not saying that based off knowledge I have. I just think it makes sense because.
So you're saying you have no knowledge?
I have no knowledge.
Okay.
Jalen Elliott, I think, is a good candidate to play nickel. We thought about this before the season. The coaches had been talking about this. Could we slide to Jalen Elliott to nickel? Have Kyle Hamilton and Lohi Gilman at safety? I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Jalen's played nickel. He's capable of doing it. You kind of cross your fingers with the cornerbacks. But I think having him at nickel is a way better option than having Owusu-Koramoah at nickel, because you have Owusu-Koramoah on one of those receivers, and I don't know. I don't trust that.
That's a big play waiting to happen. Just a strike right down the middle of the field where if they get the matchup that they like, where's number six? If number six has got to cover Tyler Vaughns or St. Brown or Michael Pittman, that's got big play potential. But I love the Jalen Elliott. Bring Jalen Elliott up and let him cover a wide receiver, because you're going to be okay back there in the back end when you've got Alohi Gilman yep. and you've got Kyle Hamilton.
Right.
Hello. Those are two pretty good safeties.
They are. And against when Sean Crawford went down against Virginia, the guy that took his place in nickel at first was freshman KJ Wallace.
For like one play, but it really wasn't one play.
It was a penalty.
Because he was in and they called a penalty before the snap, and then he went right back out and we never saw KJ Wallace again.
Yep. And then they put in Owusu for him. Mm-hmm. And I just, again, I don't know if I trust Owusu Koromoa as a nickel. And so I think he's a great player and he's a great linebacker. He's done really good at the Rover position this year. But in coverage, when you're asked to cover that amount of space with guarding a guy like Tyler Vaughns or Amonra St. Brown, that's just not going to work. So, I think Jalen Elliott moving him is the best option. Maybe they bring out their dime package on earlier downs when it's second and 12 and they know, hey, okay, we'll play dime, and if they get a six-yard run, then whatever. It's second and 12, that'll be third and six. So I think they have the liberty to be more heavy on pass defense in this game, because I don't think USC is going to threaten them much on the ground.
You're listening to the Pot of Gold Extra Point presented by Zaxby's. Let's take a short break. Back on the Pot of Gold Extra Point presented by Zaxby's with Carter Carls. My name is Tom Noy. We're talking Notre Dame. We're talking USC. Big game Saturday night at Notre Dame Stadium. NBC telecast. Kickoff around 7:36. Big game on the field. Big game off the field for Notre Dame as far as the Irish are concerned. Well, some surprising news this week on the recruiting front. Yeah, they're going to bring a lot of recruits in, but they're also going to be recruiting a guy that decided to enter the old transfer portal in Isaiah Pryor. You were on the Isaiah Pryor story this week. What's the latest on that front?
Yeah, I talked with Isaiah Pryor and his father, Richard Pryor, not the comedian. And he was a sophomore junior this year at Ohio State. He was able to preserve a year of eligibility by redshirting, so technically it's his redshirt sophomore year this year. He's going to be a graduate transfer because he's been...
That's amazing.
Yeah, he graduated in 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. I could barely graduate in 4 years.
Oh, stop.
And so that's impressive to me. So because of that, he's going to have 2 years of eligibility. And Notre Dame's hoping and thinking that, hey, this could be someone that starts for us in 2020 and even 2021 as well, because you look at the current roster.
Is he a corner? Is he a safety?
He's a safety.
Okay. How does he start as a safety then? They got plenty of safeties.
Jalen Elliott leaves this year. Mm-hmm. His eligibility expires. Alohi Gilman, he's played to a level I think he could go to the 2020 NFL draft. Not decided yet,
right.
But that's definitely a possibility.
Nobody would be shocked if come December, Alohi Gilman says, you know what, I think it's time to take my game to the next level and explore my NFL possibilities.
Yeah. And that leaves you Kyle Hamilton and Houston Griffith for the most part. You've got a couple other guys in DJ Brown, Litchfield, Adjavon, but they haven't done a ton yet. No. And so you would assume that if they get Isaiah Pryor, he's immediately either the number three best safety or maybe the second best safety on the roster. I think he would probably compete with Houston Griffith. Yeah. And it's, Kyle Hamilton has the starting job locked up no matter what happens last year.
We'll just come out and say that right now. It is locked. Like, Kyle Hamilton, number 14, is going to be on the field with the first team defense when we see this team in the spring.
Exactly. And Isaiah's interesting because as a recruit, he was highly regarded. He got offers from Alabama and LSU and Georgia and all those schools, all the big schools. He was a top 100 recruit on 247 Sports, a high-rated four-star.
Was Notre Dame involved with him the first time around?
They were, yeah.
There you go.
He was being recruited by him. Mike Elston, Kerry Cooks, those guys were on him, so... and so he's got some familiarity there. Academics is very important for him. He wants to work towards his master's degree and is even thinking about getting a doctorate degree. And so this weekend for him is going to be about, okay, does Notre Dame, does their academic stuff work out for me? Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to get that doctorate degree, I think. And so he wants to make sure that their programs are correct. Notre Dame has spent a lot of time researching this kid. They've had Houston Griffith, Kyle Hamilton, and other guys reach out to him this week, call him on the phone. They've got some plans for him this weekend as far as, like, I think the parents are having a tailgate for him and his family or something like that. So they are definitely invested in this kid. This is the only visit he has scheduled. And so I don't know if it's done this weekend. They said that they want to take some time and think about it. Mm-hmm. But I think Notre Dame's the clear front runner right now.
So we'll see what happens on Isaiah Pryor. But it would not shock Carter Carls if he's tracking down a commitment around about Tuesday or Wednesday of his bye week. Welcome to your bye week. Go track down a commitment. How about that?
So, Tom, I got a new segment for us.
All right, we're flying without a net now because we walked into the podcast studio to tape the USC-Notre Dame preview, and Carter Carls says, hey, I've got an idea. I've got an idea for a new segment, and I'm going to hit you with it at 12:01. So as our listeners are hearing this, I'm also hearing this for the first time. So what do we got?
Man, I just hope that I don't disappoint you because that would make me sad.
No, it wouldn't.
This new segment, our first segment ever.
Ever.
Tyler and Eric, they've got all these segments and audio stuff. We're not that fancy. I'm just going to let them do it. Yeah. This segment's going to be called Hot Take, Cold Take. Okay? And Hot Take, Cold Take, to define that for you.
If it's
a hot take, that means... I don't really agree with that opinion. That's way too hot. That's sizzling, right? If it's a cold take, it is, well, duh. Like, obviously, that's the case. Like, yeah, the sky is blue.
That would be a cold take.
And then
it's going to be cold tomorrow. Cold take.
Cold take.
There you go.
And then lukewarm, you could just be like, eh, I don't know. So I'm just going to give you these statements.
So I can go hot, cold, or meh? Those are my three?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go hot, cold, meh.
And I'm going to give you a statement.
All right.
And you can shoot me a look and then say if it's hot or cold.
What if I shoot you one of these? See, people can't see that.
They can't see good. That. I'm we'll not going to describe it. Here's my first statement for
you. All right, let's roll.
Ian Book will continue his hot streak from Bowling Green and have a very, very, very good game.
I'm going to go, that's a cold take for me. I mean, yeah, that's going to happen. I don't think Ian Book is going to be a guy. I don't think we're sitting here on Saturday night in the second quarter reading social media with people saying, why isn't Phil Dracovic in the game? Like, this is Ian Book's game to go win. I believe he's going to go win it. So I'm going cold on that.
It's been very interesting looking at Notre Dame's plays per game this year. It's like 119th in the country, 63 or 62
plays a
game. Yeah,
somewhere around low 60s.
And that's not by design. It's just... They've been so explosive on offense. They're on pace to break the modern record at Notre Dame for scoring offense. They're averaging 41 a game. I think Ian Book continues that. Next statement, the wide receiving trio at USC will combine for over 275 Ooh. Receiving yards.
Wow. I'm going hot. That's too hot for me. 275, that's a lot.
They had over 300 last year.
Last year against Notre Dame?
Yes.
They were at home. I think Clark Lee was a little too soft last year in his coverage. I believe he'll tighten that up. It'll be cold. They'll have their face masks on, you know, with the cover because it's going to be chilly. Ooh, I got to get back in front of that heater. If this was a 65-degree night, I'd say the USC offense might be in for a big one against Notre Dame. But I just think eventually Clark Lee's going to figure it out with, is it going to be Jalen Elliott? Is it going to be Kyle Hamilton? Let's not keep Owusu-Koramoah in for passing downs. 275 is a lot.
It is a lot.
If you were going to say maybe 230, 240,
yeah.
I'd go cold on that. But 275, that's way too much against this defense that, you know, we talked when Notre Dame was going down to Sanford Stadium and played Georgia. Those receivers were going to, like, the receivers, they were good, but it wasn't a game-breaking type of effort from the Georgia receivers, and that was at home on a Saturday night, national TV. I think USC on the road, they're not getting 275.
I think it's hot just because of the quarterback that's going to be playing. Keaton Slovis, true freshman. You know, I think Notre Dame's defense is going to throw a lot at them. Their defensive line, their front four, has been playing really well the last couple games, and I think they're going to get to him. I think Clark Lee's going to dial a lot of things up and try to confuse him with blitzes and different looks.
Now,
like
Slovis is good. Like he's
had his moments.
He's completed almost 78% of his passes, but like you said, true freshman, and also true freshman coming back from a concussion. I think he was cleared Tuesday of this week to play. He missed the Washington game, which was USC's last game 2 weeks ago. They lost up at Husky Stadium, or whatever they call it up there in Seattle now. USC lost that game. Slovis was knocked out early in the Utah game, which was the Friday. So he hasn't played since the Friday before, that was the night before Notre Dame and Georgia played down in Athens on September 21st. So he's been off a while. He's good, but I don't think he's seen a pair of defensive ends and some of the defensive things that Clark Lee wants to do that he's going to see tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I'll disagree a little. I think he's shown flashes, but at this stage, I don't think he's shown me enough to where he's going to go out and 275
and just winging around but again, if they get soft coverage and he can get into a rhythm, then that kind of opens it up for him. So come after him early and tighten things up. Don't let him get comfortable in the pocket, because with Slovis, it's the ball's out quick. Like they're moving. He's not standing in a pocket surveying six different options and looking at this or looking at that. He knows where he's going with the ball, and if he gets in a rhythm like that, maybe they can flirt with 275, but I don't think they can.
Next statement for you.
Statement number three. How many do we have?
Let's go four.
Well, only four?
Let's do four.
Wow.
Yeah, I know we're crunched on time.
We're not crunched on time. We have no time restraints whatsoever. Although our producer's shaking his head. Yes, like he's got to go eat lunch. So, all right, we'll go with number – what's number three? What do you got?
Jafar Armstrong does a little bit more than we expect and maybe has about 80 rushing yards.
I'm going to go meh on that. Like, that's lukewarm. I need to see Jafar Armstrong just cut it loose. Like, I was disappointed. I was talking with another media member, Tim Priester from Irish Illustrated. We were walking down to the field at Cardinal Stadium, and I'm like, you know, just when you want to buy into Jafar Armstrong, he gets hurt. He got hurt in the opening series. Like, Jafar Armstrong for me is like, I was the same way with Cole Kmet. Like, everybody was talking about what a great talent he is and the skills he has, but he was hurt. You know, he was hurt last year with the ankle, then he broke his collarbone. I became a Cole Kmet guy the first drive at Georgia.
You know, first catch.
Yeah, the first catch. And then he catches like four more on the first drive. So it's like, okay, now I see it. If Jafar Armstrong can do anything close to what Dexter Williams did in his first carry or his first game back, then I'll start buying into Jafar Armstrong a little bit more. But at some point, he's got to go from great talent and potential to doing it on the field and be like, you know what? I don't care if my ankle bothers me. I don't care if I've got some bumps and bruises. I'm going to still be a football player. I'm going to go out there, and I'm just going to attack it. Let's see if he can do that tomorrow night.
One of our buddies at Notre Dame gave me a hard time for...
We have buddies at Notre Dame?
Yeah,
I wasn't
going to mention his name, but... because he might not like that, but he gave me a hard time for saying that I will believe it when I see it with Julian Aquara against Virginia. And then, of course, he has this breakout incredible game.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna say cold on this one. I think Notre Dame might be playing with a lead in this game. I think Jafar Armstrong is going to do more than we expect. I just think he adds that dynamic playmaking ability to the offense, and he's going to have a few really big plays that will get him there. I mean, 80 rushing yards, that could just take, you know, a 30-yard run and a few 10-yard runs. So I think Notre Dame has not had a run over 31 yards, I think, this season, and Jafar Armstrong is certainly capable of that. Actually, Ian Book's run, I think, of 37 yards was the biggest.
The first play of the season.
Yeah, the first play
against Louisville, right up the middle. So if Jafar Armstrong has a big game on Saturday, you can bet that come Monday or come Sunday online at ND Insider, Carter Carls is all over that feature sidebar with Jafar Armstrong. He wants it.
I'm all in.
All right.
So, okay, last one here. USC, just to preface this, I think the spread is 11 to Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
Double digits.
It's been somewhere between 10, 10 and a half, 11. So it's double. We'll just say double digits.
USC winning this game is more likely than Notre Dame winning by 20 points or more.
Meh.
Meh.
Meh. Nah, let's say, yeah, I'll go cold. I'll go cold on that. I don't see Notre Dame winning by 20.
Okay.
I see, well, we see, I can't say right now because we don't have our prediction segment. Yeah, Notre Dame's not going to blow USC out. If they do, Clay Helton may be fired on the tarmac when they land at LAX at 5 a.m., 4 a.m. Sunday morning, whatever time it is.
They'll bring him in like the Redskins did with Jay Gruden at 5 a.m.
Well, didn't Pat Hayden, the former USC AD, fire? I think he fired Lane Kiffin on the tarmac.
He did.
So when they land at LAX, whatever time that is, 2 a.m.
A tradition.
Los Angeles, yeah, L.A. time. A tradition like none other. Firing a USC coach on the tarmac at LAX. Without the chance to go to In-N-Out Burger right there.
I know.
Right next to the airport. So I'll go cold on that. I think
USC has a better chance of winning.
They've got a better chance of winning this game outright than Notre Dame does blowing USC out by 20 points.
I'm going to go more on the side of lukewarm, maybe turning to hot. I think Notre Dame is going to come out really well in this game.
You got something, huh?
I do. But I think mostly lukewarm just because rivalry game, we don't fully know what's going to happen, right? Like there is a little unpredictability, not just because of the rivalry game, but Notre Dame has been inconsistent at times this year, so it might be where Ian Book comes out flat and then has a really nice second half and wins the game by 7. So you don't really know what's going to happen exactly, but so that's why I'm going to stick with lukewarm here.
Are we going to see the Notre Dame effort in the second half that we saw from when they played Virginia? Like when you looked at that, you said, "Whoa!" Now that's the number 9 team in the country. If we see that, there's a possibility. Or again, like if we see the same effort that they played again when they beat Bowling Green 52-0, but if we see kind of like they're okay, like they were in the first half against New Mexico, like they were for the whole game against Louisville, USC. I think USC is better than Louisville, so don't let a team like USC with the potential playmakers and the talent and the athleticism that they have, don't let them hang around and say we got a chance to win this game. Don't do it. You do. Bad things might happen.
I think the Virginia second half was the turning point. That was when we saw the two tight end sets really work. We saw the ground game come alive. And then Bowling Green, we saw that carryover, and then it starts to affect Ian Book in a positive way. And I think he's got that confidence. So my prediction might be a little bit different than yours, but I'll hear your prediction first.
Well, you will. What if I want to hear your prediction first? Okay, I'll go first. I'm going Notre Dame 31, USC. Just so it's not like I'm going to go 31-19.
31-19. Okay, that's closer than I thought.
And Notre Dame will not be wearing green jerseys. Do not trot out the green jerseys. All around campus this week, wear green. They want to do all this. They want to do all that. Don't wear green jerseys.
Not a fan
of the gimmick jersey. Like last year everybody knew Notre Dame was going to wear green jerseys on their final home game of the year. That's what the seniors wanted to do. Everybody knew they were going to wear green. Now they want all the fans in the stands to wear green. They're going to light up the Hesburgh Library mural in green before the game at night to stand out at night. Don't warm up in the blue jerseys and go back in the locker room, and then when they come out and run out of the tunnel just before kickoff, wearing green jerseys. Like, that's been there, done that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to wear green, wear the green for the warm-ups, keep them on, then go play the game. But this is a game that doesn't need a gimmick as far as changing jersey, what color do they wear the blue jerseys.
Yeah, this isn't Tech Baylor this weekend, right?
Ooh, see, how about that? it all goes back to some schools in Texas for my Texas guy here. But it's Notre Dame, it's USC. Yeah. It's not gimmick jersey.
But I agree. I mean, we might be sounding old man yell at cloud here, but look, it's a traditional rivalry. It's gone on for decades. You don't need a gimmick to make it fun and amazing. This is Notre Dame, USC. My prediction, I think Notre Dame's going to run away with this one.
Look at you.
I've got 37-19 Notre Dame.
We both chose 19.
We did, coincidentally. I had the same score prediction as Eric last week, 62-3. And so I had to be different than both of you guys. I think Notre Dame's going to win by at least two touchdowns in this one. I think freshman quarterback on the road. Notre Dame's offense just clicking, having all the weapons back. Jafar Armstrong, the two tight end sets. I think they've got all the ingredients there to win this game comfortably.
Okay, now we're gonna aggravate some of our fan base here. Bonus prediction.
Ooh,
better fight song, Notre Dame or USC?
Unquestionably USC.
Bingo. Sorry.
I'm going to make people mad. Yeah.
We'll make people mad. Like, sorry, we're not. We'll have to have. We'll throw the disclaimer out that we're not Notre Dame fans. We don't root for Notre Dame. What we do root for is the story when it comes to Notre Dame. But when it comes to fight songs, give me USC.
It's incredible.
10 out of 10.
And their uniforms, too.
Love it.
Incredible.
Love it.
I mean, we probably shouldn't gush this much, or we might get burned at the stake. But
They'll come back, and they'll find something wrong with us anyway. Like, we're fully transparent on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, some Notre Dame people, some people that even work for Notre Dame say, I can't stand listening to that song. I hate that song. I hate Traveler. I hate that horse. I hate everything about USC. I'm just the opposite. I love the pageantry of college football when it comes to Notre Dame and USC.
Exactly.
I think I was finally able to cross off one of my bucket list to-dos last year when I was able to cover Notre Dame and USC at the Coliseum. There's just nothing like it, and I think what makes this rivalry what it is, part of it is just being able to listen to that fight song. That fight song gives me goosebumps. It gives me this is what college football is all
favorite?
About. It is my favorite.
Really?
Without question.
Wow.
Like, you can have all the other fight songs combined, whether it's Michigan or Notre Dame or Ohio State or whatever it might be. Give me USC and we'll call it a day.
Give me Rocky Top Tennessee.
Even that, you can
you
have
look
that.
At the lyrics in that song, it is a wild song. So I'm going to go with Rocky Top. But yeah, USC, it's up there for sure.
All right, so Carter Carls picking Notre Dame in a romp. Tom Noy, be a little bit closer. We'll
lukewarm take.
It's a lukewarm take. It's not going to be a meh take. Just as long as it's a good game, that's all we ask. And a quick game. This is going to be a late night for us. We'll be rolling home about not as late as Georgia. 2:30, 3 o'clock, maybe.
May fall asleep at the wheel, but...
Well, how many pizzas are you going to pilfer from the press box afterward?
7 or 8, give or take 12.
7 or 8 pizzas you're
give or
taking?
Take 12, yeah.
Wow. What if it's not your favorite pizza? Are you going to take any?
Well, I'll riot. I'll burn them like people burn the jerseys. I'll burn the pizzas.
Or run over the jersey. You'll run over the pizza like they did with Kershaw's jersey.
Or Walter White when he throws the pizza on the roof. If you watch Breaking Bad, new movie coming out.
Ah, look at you.
Yeah. Topical.
Plug to Breaking Bad. We'll talk about how many pizzas Cara Carls takes from the press box and the USC game and basically anything else next week on our podcast because it's a bye week.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go deep with the hot cold takes next week.
Can't wait.
This has been the Pot of Gold Extra Point brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at zaxby's.com/podcast. And also brought to you by Tire Rack, the way tire buying should be.